the drama you watch on television, how, you know, if it didn't have any conflict, about how boring it would be if there was no drama, if there were no fights, if there was, you know, no fight scenes. It would be so boring. We are entertained by this conflict. Or maybe even if you watch sports, you're entertained by that conflict, especially football, about how there are two teams on the same field and only one of them can come away with the victory. And even war and war movies about Saving Private Ryan, Hacksaw Ridge, or Gladiator. Our society likes these movies, and it's because of the conflict in them. We like conflict, unless it's in our own lives. You know, and all of us in our lives, we have conflict, and it's stressful. And you know, as students coming into finals week with all these projects due, we have these conflicts. No matter what it is, we all have our battles, whether it be physical, whether it be illness like depression or anxiety, or even most of us here today have had know someone or have fought cancer. And even more serious than these physical illnesses are spiritual illnesses, are spiritual battles, spiritual conflicts. You know, whenever your friend comes up to you and says, guess what I heard about so-and-so, and you want to hear, you know, this juicy story, this bad news about someone, but it's gossip, and you have this conflict, you can either give in and listen to what they have to say and participate in this gossip, or you can decide not to. What about lying and cheating for a test or at work? You know, there's so many easy ways out, and you can get away with so much. However, are you going to choose the right decision, or are you going to decide to go the easy way and choose to lie or to cheat at something? Or maybe it's even has to do with an addictive tendency, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or pornography. Many of us here today have struggled with, or have probably struggled with at least one of these, you know, you struggle with this, and you're like, should I do it or should I not? Should I give in to peer pressure? This makes me feel so good. You have this conflict, this battle inside of you. So you know this battle, you know what it means to battle. You know what it means to have this conflict spiritually. And today I'd like to talk about this and talk about our spiritual struggle and how can we get the victory? How can we come away winning instead of having to give in to these sins and failing time after time? So, and the things I'm going to talk about is, who is the battle really with? What is our battle really with in this world? What are we struggling with? What causes us to struggle? So who is our enemy? And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, trying to strengthen them, telling them to get ready for spiritual warfare. And he goes in to tell them about putting on the full armor of God. And, you know, we've all had this in our VBS about putting on the armor of God, you know, the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of and all that. But before that, he tells us who our enemy is. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he says, "We are not battling with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So our struggle is not just with these things. It's not with alcohol. It's not with gossip. It's not with lying. Our battle is not against those alone. Our battle is against Satan and his angels. Satan and those that are following after him. That is who causes and puts these stumbling blocks in our lives and tempts us in our lives with this gossip, with this cheating, with these substances. So we need, and sometimes we're so materialistic, we think about what's right in front of us. And we don't often think about that it is a spiritual battle we are engaging in with Satan. And that's part of the battle. Part of the battle is realizing that it isn't just this thing that I'm struggling with. Satan is trying to get me to do this. Satan is trying to get me to do this. And if you think of Eve in the garden, and you're like, you know, that Satan trying to tempt you, you're like, it's pretty obvious. Well, how obvious is that every temptation that you fall with, Satan is trying to get you to do that. You think of the story of Job about how Satan wants to tempt him. Satan's like, let me tempt Job. And he does get to. God sometimes allows us to be tempted. So our battle is with these people. So why do they do it? Why do they try to tempt us? What is their goal? And their goal is to take our souls. So God is a just God, and he cannot be in the presence of sin, right? Isaiah 59:10 says, our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins have hidden our face from him. So Satan is trying to keep us from God, trying to cause us to sin, trying to cause us to not be able to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, this isn't any new information for us today. We all know that Satan is trying to get us to not be in relationship with God. He is our main adversary. So what is it specifically that he is after besides our soul? How does he get to our soul? What is, you know, he cannot, you know, touch us or physically harm us like that. He cannot just say, you know what, I can choose that you go to hell, but because he can't do that. He doesn't have that power. However, what Satan is after is our choices. Satan is after our choices, and that is how he can keep our soul from God. So in Genesis 3, when you think about Eve again, you see what Satan was after. He was trying to get her to make the wrong choice, trying to get her to do something against what God said. So he tried to make it as attractive as possible, trying to make that fruit seem as great as possible. And he appealed to everything. He said it was good for the eyes, and she desired to be wise like God. So, and all these things, like, you know, they made her want to take this fruit. And it made her make the wrong, or he influenced her to make the wrong choices. And this is where we have to focus too. If Satan is after our choices, we have to guard our choices. We have to be conscious about every choice that we make in our lives, because Satan is going to try and make you make the wrong ones. He's going to try and cause you to stumble. You know, and you might acknowledge that, well, some people, it just seems like making choices is easier than others. Some people, they seem to do what is right more easily than it does for some of us. Some of us can't help to do what's right. They struggle with it a lot more. And I would have to agree with this statement. Some people, it is easier. And some people have far more ability than others. You know, however, everyone is capable of both doing good and doing evil. Think about Anakin Skywalker, for instance. You know, in Star Wars, he had a super high aptitude for the Force. You know, he had such potential. He could have been the greatest Jedi that ever lived, because the Force worked so well within him. And yet, what did he do? He chose to go to the dark side. His greed for power, his greed tempted him and he decided to do what was wrong, to go to the dark side. So even though he had all this power, he did not use it appropriately. So having more power than someone else does not necessarily mean that it will be easier for you. And then on the other hand, you have a person like Harry Potter, who him and his enemy, Lord Voldemort, they had striking similarities. They could both speak to snakes. They were both orphans. They were both raised by people who didn't love them. They both loved their school, Hogwarts. And they both had twin wands. So they had these many things in common. So they were more too alike than any other people in their world. So, and Harry was getting worried about this, right? He's like, I'm just like him. Am I going to be evil too, just like he was? However, his professor, Lord Dumbledore, Professor Dumbledore said, it is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities. So it is our choices, not our abilities, that will determine who we are. It does not matter how powerful you are, how great you are, because as we can see, that you can have power, and if you make the wrong choices, you can lose all of that power. It can go away. So yes, it can be easier for some people to make the right choices. Yes, some people might make more mistakes than others, but they always have a choice. So when you think that you've messed up too many times and are beyond the point of changing, that you're at the bottom, think of this: I have a choice. I always have a choice to make the right decision. I always have an option to do what is right. And this is what we must do against Satan. We must take every thought captive to obey Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey God." So we must take every thought captive. Think of every decision that we have to make during our day, because Satan is going to go after them. Satan is going to try and hone in on those weak places. He's going to try and make, whenever you're not thinking, he's going to catch you off guard. So we have to take every thought captive if we want to obey Christ. So we need to fight against him. He has been devising against us since the beginning. Being conscious of this battle is half the fight, right? You know, being conscious of that, we have to think about our choices is half of what we have to do. Next, we have to actually do it. So Satan loves to trick us and catch us off guard. So we must be consistently trying to think and trying to do this. And the best part is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So God will provide a way out every single time. Every single time that you are faced with something in real life, you have a way. You always have a choice. You have free will. You're like, okay, Robert, you know, that isn't practical. You know, we're people. We make mistakes. And that is very true. And because of these mistakes, we cannot be perfect. We cannot be right with God in and of ourselves. But thanks be to God that we have Jesus Christ, who has won us the victory, who has already fought the battle and won. He did not sin. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that when we do mess up, when we do falter, when we do lose a battle, we can come back to him. We can come back to God. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, you know, and then you might be like, so, you know, if Jesus is fighting for us, if Jesus has already won the battle, what do we have to do? What must we do? And God asks us to fight along with him. It is still our fight to fight. We are supposed to fight with him. You know, he can't do all the work with us. You know, I used to think, you know, whenever I was sinning, and I was like, why can't God, whenever I surrender my life, why doesn't God just take over? Why can't I just stop making choices? I'm tired of having to try to make the right choices. He used to make me weary, and I was like, I'm trying to surrender my life to God, but I truly didn't know what it meant to surrender to God and let him fight my battles for me. We have to fight with him. And a great example of this is in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Whenever he's talking to the seven churches in Asia, you know, six out of the seven had some sort of issue that they had to correct. Six out of the seven had something against them. And the first one had a problem. It says it had a problem with, and they forgot their first love. They forgot to go back to their good works. But Christ said to them in chapter 2 and verse 7, "To the one who conquers, to the one who gains the victory, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise with God." So they must conquer. They must overcome as well. Yes, Christ has overcame for us. But he is telling them to conquer, to correct themselves, to fight along with him. And the next church is Satan is testing some of them, causing them to stumble, you know, throwing them in prison, killing them. And he says, "To the one who conquers, to the one who gains the victory, they will not be hurt by the second death. They don't have to worry about the next life." The next one, he says, to the one who conquers, I will give him some hidden manna. And to the next one, he says, to the one who conquers, who gains the victory, and who keeps my works till the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them over a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken to pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. So he continuously tells them this. However, you get to the sixth church, the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3. And we see that, you know, he doesn't find fault with them. He doesn't find anything wrong with them. He doesn't point out anything. Yet he persists to tell them that they must continue to fight. And he says, to the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. So they must continue to fight, continue to conquer. So today, will you choose to fight with God? You know, you have a choice. You can either join the armies of Satan or you can join the army of God. So on the one hand, we can join Satan's army, which has a great appeal to our eye. It is extremely attractive. It doesn't involve much work. You can just sit back and the only thing you have to worry about is your own pleasure. It is fun for now and you get to relax and you get to choose the easy options. But you will lose the battle. And on the other hand, we can join the kingdom of God and fight in his army against Satan's army. It is not super attractive, but, you know, it's rather lowly, rather humble. It does not need fancy weapons, just rather reliable ones. So being a part of God's army is not always fun. And it doesn't always feel rewarding. And it is annoying, and sometimes even it feels burdensome because we mess up so much. But you will win. You will get the victory. And this can apply to any situation. If you choose between choosing God's army and choosing against Satan's army. You know, in my struggles in my life that I've had, I used to struggle with pornography addiction in my life. And thanks be to God that I've overcome that through other people in the church. Through other people that have helped given me accountability. But one thing I couldn't do was give up fighting against it. So when I used to lay in my bed at night and I was most tempted there, I knew I had a choice. I knew I could either choose to be with God at that moment. I can choose to be in his army, or I could choose to be with Satan. I could choose the evil, the easy option. Whenever I backed away from the situation and realized this is what I'm doing when I choose this, I'm choosing him over someone that will cause me to win, someone that loves me, that is what got me through it. That is what helped me in my recovery. So, which will you choose today? Will you choose to be a part of Christ's victory and choose faith in him and goodness? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, says that, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So today, what will you choose? Will you choose to serve the God who has delivered you, the God who sent his only son to die for you? Or will you choose to be with Satan? Will you choose this person that's setting you up to fail? Who will you choose today?